Our next speaker is Ms. Rasha Al-Osta from Jordan. She has an MA degree in geography and political science, and she's working as a health promotion task manager at the Health System Strengthening Project that's implemented in Jordan. This is a presentation about GIS to ensure health services to target groups in Jordan, a case study in Iraqi clusters.
Good evening, everybody. It's my pleasure today to be with you to present Jordan experience in using geographic information system to ensure health services to target group in Jordan. We took Iraqi refugees clusters as our case study in this paper. Who we are? The Health System Strengthening is a USAID-funded five-year project. It is implemented by APT Associates in collaboration with Initiatives Incorporation. Our client, the project is implemented by APT Associates, as I said. Our client is the Jordanian Ministry of Health. The Health System Strengthening objective is to assess the government of Jordan to improve the health status of all Jordanians by strengthening healthcare systems. One of the systems that Health System Strengthening projects worked on and developed was the Geographic Information System, which is now functioning at the Jordanian Ministry of Health. The GIS system is a web-based tool for mapping and identifying community resources. This system provides updated information on governmental and non-governmental services that address social, economic, and personal factors which affect health in Jordan. Let's take a little bit to introduce Jordan. Jordan, as you can see, it's a country in the southwest of Asia. It shares borders with Syria to the north, Iraq to the northeastern, Saudi Arabia to the west, to the south, and Palestine to the west. Jordan has population of 5,600,000. Distributed on an area of 89 square kilometer. As we all know, the war in Iraq has created the fastest growing refugee crisis in the world, and Jordan was one of the Middle East countries that suffered from this crisis. As of August 2007, more than 4 million Iraqis had fled their homes and sought refugee to neighboring countries. And Jordan was one of the countries. The estimation indicates that up to 750,000 Iraqis have fled to Jordan. Most of Iraqis that came to Jordan have settled in Amman. Amman is the capital of Jordan, and they also settled in two other main cities, which they are exclusively urban. 77% of the migration of Iraqis to Jordan consists of families, and it's good to know that Iraqis that came to Jordan have a few sources of sustainable income. Two-thirds of Iraqi households have children under the age of 18 years. That means that they are dependent on their families. The average household of Iraqis is 4.1 person, and about one in five households are female-headed. From this table, we can see the distribution of registered Iraqis in Jordan. Registered here means the Iraqis that they are registered under the with the UN refugee agency that works in Jordan, and they are getting aids and help from this agency. We are lack of accurate data about the exact number of Iraqis in Jordan, so we use this source as our indication for this study. From this table, we can see that Amman, which is the capital of Jordan, has the highest percentage of registered Iraqis. And this map also gives us a clear picture about the distribution of Iraqis, which they, as you can see from the map, they are concentrated in Amman and the other two main big cities in Jordan, which is Zarqa and Irbid. This map also, which is the GIS map, can show us the distribution of Iraqis in Amman city. This map is part of Amman, not all the city. And it's good to know also that the Iraqi population that lived in Amman area, in this area, or in Amman, differs between wealthy, middle, and low-income population. And in this map, mainly the population or the clusters show us the distribution of low-income, middle and low-income population of Iraqis. The health situation of Iraqi refugees. Let me first talk about the health situation in Jordan. Jordan has one of the most modern health system and infrastructure in the Middle East. The Ministry of Health is the major single institution, financier, and provider of healthcare services in Jordan. But the large influx of Iraqi refugees put a big strain on the health system, and the government of Jordan is now working hard to cope with the current situation and ensure that Iraqis' health needs are met. Also, Iraqi refugees have access to all public health facilities in Jordan. This map also, through the GIS, we were able to identify the distribution of public health centers in each Iraqi cluster, as you can so see from this map. It's the Iraqi clusters in the red points, and the blue squares is the distribution of health centers, public health centers. The studies also indicate that most of Iraqis in Jordan suffers from different diseases, such as chronic diseases, trauma from the violence that they experience in Iraq, cancer, especially lymphoma, and a lot of disability cases. So they need to be able to access different health facilities to get treatment. What was our approach as HSS to target Iraqi population? Data collection of available health services and community resources within each health directorate were mapped and analyzed using the geographic information system. Through this system, we were able to capture and locate Iraqi population and the available resources that serve them in their areas. And this map will show us the distribution of health facilities within Iraqi clusters. We can see different colors in the map. As I said before, the red point is the Iraqi clusters, blue, the health centers, public health centers. Also, we can see green and purple. This is private health, hospitals and public hospitals, also royal. So they have access to different health facilities as refugees in Jordan. Also, one of the approaches that we followed is networking with NGOs, with different NGOs, to ensure access and continuity of services. We work with their staff. We train them on different health issues, on health subjects such as health promotion and family planning, communication skills. And through this training and this networking, we were able to establish strong linkages between the NGOs, the clinics, and the public health services within the same area that they are working in. And the following map also shows us the linkages between the health clinic, the public health centers, and NGO clinics. The square in purple is the NGO's clinic, and also the health centers and the Iraqi clusters. So they are able to reach whatever health center they need. If they did not find the service in the NGO clinic, they can go to the health center and get the service from there. Also, also through the GIS, we were able to identify Iraqi cluster and involve them in. We involve them in our established community health committees. The community health committees is a well-organized body that has representatives from official and non-official sector in each targeted area. We followed the community action cycle approach to empower these committees to be able to identify and address their health needs. Through GIS, we were able to identify Iraqi cluster and involve them in these committees in the area that we intervene, and problems such as diabetes, high blood pressure, and the family planning issues were addressed and worked on to solve and raise awareness about. This is also a map that shows us our intervention as a health system strengthening in different area in Amman. In this area, we have a committee that working and have representatives from Jordanian official and non-official sector. Also, there is members from Iraqi refugees in this committee, and they are working on different issues related to health. Also, in this area, there is another committee, also in this one Finally, the conclusion of this study was that the GIS will enable decision makers to determine priorities and better direct resources to service providers, and also linkages between community health committees, activities, and community and public resources are better defined and can be translated into targeted policy. And HSS is able to take advantage of the GIS to better target and ensure integrated efforts. Thanks for your attendance.
Thank you, Asma. There's ample time for questions for any of our speakers or for myself for the earlier presentation. Yes, sir.
I have a question for the gentleman who presented on the Egyptian.
That's me, yes.
You?
Yes. I'm sorry?
This was the key on that you were putting the pharmacies. What is the physical environment in those pharmacies in terms of maintaining computer working, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, I'm sure in some of the rural areas that will be an issue. Our initial deployment will be in fairly urban environments, and in a lot of cases, they already have computers, and some of them already have TVs or LCD monitors in place for their own private use. So I think it'll probably involve some more research when we start thinking of deployment outside of those kinds of pharmacies, particularly in areas where it's more rural and less, you know. Yes, I The initial ones that we're pilot testing so far, yes. I think for the urban areas, it's probably close to half. But we haven't done a complete mapping of the deployment to see what the implications are outside of those kinds of pharmacies. But something that we intend to research. Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah, I see. The initial deployment will just be passive screens. There'll be videos of health messages interspersed with advertisements to support the deployment. Right now, we are not. We just see an evolution to interactive kiosks, but at this point, that's not something we've deploying. Any other questions? Yes, Juan Carlos. Why? The idea is that along with the deployment over the web, we understand that a large portion of the population wouldn't have access to this health information. So that's why the deployment is occurring, and also in pharmacies, because that is where that population is going for quite often their initial health consultation, because this is they're not often seeing doctors. That's something where it's under negotiation in terms of what kinds of products. Certainly, it's a concern when it comes to the medication. One thing that our partners include providers of health beauty aids and that sort of thing that are also sold in pharmacies. So that's right now. That's typically the advertising that we're looking at. Anything else? Oh, sorry.
That's one option. The other option is where we use a certain intensive 1 week, sort of 6 hours a day kind of thing. So we are trying to experiment with both to see whether the second option is, of course, much more feasible in the sense that it sort of mirrors what happens now. They have a 1 week sort of orientation session and then they go into the field. So the first option, which in a way would I think improve data quality tremendously, would act, but it would force the students to. Everyone would have to take this one semester long sort of introduction to data collection. And there's some advantages in that. It involves a certain amount of, mandatory sort of, in addition to the, you know, there's basically one course where they go collect the data and write a report. That's already there. Now, if we sort of enforce an additional class, which is training how to get the data, then that's an additional kind of a burden, so we're actually looking into that. And what was your second question? I'm sorry, I asked your first and your third question. The training, I've answered this one. Do you have a data collection?
Analysis?
No, we haven't done any analysis yet. We've done a very preliminary sort of data checks when we did the pilot. And what we found was that you know, the usual things, that anytime we have a skip, this causes huge problems, that we, a certain proportion of students sort of basically skip a whole section. I should point out that we are also exploring the possibility of using PDAs to directly enter the data as people collect it, rather than this sort of old-fashioned notion of collecting the data in a paper questionnaire and then having a data entry person enter it. And I think that is where we are going to be headed over the next 5 to 10 years. I mean, this is basically a cost issue. The typical PDA is about $300 to $400 now. So if we have about 300 students each round, you know, that's something that we need to think about. But I suspect that's where we're going to go, because that will likely improve data quality to many students. That is the experience of many other groups. But you know, there are issues about battery and things like that. They're out in the field, so they're out for 8 hours, will the PDA last for, you know. So there are some logistic issues involved, but I think those are, there are other groups that have tried to do this. So, but I think that's where we're headed. Right now, I think we will start off within 1 year with actually just using paper.
Yes, sir.
Also, with respect to your approach there, it wasn't clear to me from your presentation how successive waves of students connect with the same person that was interviewed before. You call this a longitudinal study. Are they going back to interview the same
person? Yes. They're going back to the same household. See, the households are completely mapped. You know, we will have a complete map. We have the so we know the locations of every single household that was. So the and of course remember that there is institutional memory in terms of the faculty monitors, because they're basically the faculty are fairly stable and follow them leaving the employment of the university. So yes, the successive waves will go back to those specific households that were monitored in the previous. That's the whole point.
Were you also implying that you're filling into this the capacity to obtain information about the broader family and people who have left the household?
Yes.
How are you doing that?
Well, right now the way it's done is by proxy information. So when we ask someone that, you know, where is your husband is in the city, we collect proxy information from about the husband from the wife who may be in the village. And that's the conventional way it's done. But actually we've been talking to some folks about the possibility, because I should point out that cell phone coverage has amazingly gone up in Bangladesh. 1 out of 2 adults now in Bangladesh have a cell phone. This is a country of 150 million people with about 75 million people over the age of 20. So the cell phone penetration is about 40 million subscribers right now. So essentially we are looking at the fact that we may be able to actually collect information from people far afield, because their families are going to be in sort of contact with them through cell phone. So that's something we didn't even think about. I mean, that wouldn't even have been possible 5 years ago. But currently, that is a way of also tracking people who have left. We will know where they are because their families are going to be in touch with them. So, you know, I think technology has made it possible now to track people in a much more efficient way than would have been possible even 5 years ago.
Yes, Juan Carlos.
Verify the data,
the data validation and verification, all these things, and then we provide them the GPS, digital camera, and probably the survey instruments and manuals. And the we train also 20 TOTs at the central level in case we are not there, then the TOTs will train other people if the people who were trained by us left, went somewhere and then hide or whatever. Then the TOTs will train other people, and we trained 20 TOTs at the central level, and then those people will be what you call it, training others and so on. Okay, I answered the question.
What was the cost?
Oh, the cost of the data collection, I think I can't give you, but she can answer this question because she was my boss.
Well, the survey was the most expensive part, the data cleaning and everything. And we did it with the Ministry of Health and with the Governor of Health offices. So they participated with us through the whole survey. That was a good point because then they couldn't question the data because they were the ones who collected it. But anyway, that cost about $300,000 for the 5 governors to do the survey, including purchasing the GPS and the cameras and the whole process.
But now it will not cost you $300,000 because the GPS, all the computers, all these things are there. And the data collection will be less than the $3,000 that we spent at the beginning, because at the beginning there was nothing. We should have to train all people at the governorate level, 12 people at the governorate level, because we were also focusing on decentralization and buying all the laptops and GPS and digital cameras and train people how to download the data and how to map the points on all this. It was it costs high. I think now it will the updating procedure. The update will be very very low.
How much?
No,
because the refreshment of information is what's going to make it sustainable. If it is a one deal shot.
Well, first of all, there was no data, so we now have this baseline of data.
Certainly, but this is a very light data.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, in order to make it always relevant, you have to refresh.
It's difficult to say what the costs are because now the costs are taken over by the Ministry of Health. So, it's basically the employees of the ministry at the national, at the central level, and at the governor level that are going to be taking on the job. So, it's a matter of, you know, paying for per diems to collect the data. I don't know how much that would cost, but I don't think.
We can calculate it and give it to you, because just to calculate two people and the data collection period is 3 months, and then during 3 months, so the per diem for two people for multiplied by 60 days, and then that's the per diem. But I mean, that's the low cost, which is the government per diem, which is not, because they are employee, and then also sometimes they will do it in their regular work. Unless if it's a remote area, then they should have to hire a car, and then they should have to go pay the petrol and things like that, and then go to the place, the area, and then take all these GPS locations and things like that, and then it will be difficult to give you exact figures, but I think we did try it in our 5 governorate, and it worked for the 5 governorate. Now we train all the people for 21 governorates, and then they are doing. Also, the main, very important thing is on this issue, that the governorate health officials are, if they are interested, to do this. And then also, what we did is we trained the local authorities at the governorate level to understand this information should be updated regularly. And then these people, they can provide the finance every year, project certain amount for this updating procedure. And then probably, okay, if For example, if we are going to buy a GPS and or laptop which costs $2,000 and GPS costs from $200 to $500, it will increase. But already we provide this with the other donors, and then I think the data collection and processing, data entry, and things like that, it will cost more, as I believe.
I wonder, Abdullah, if you should talk to Dr. Rahman about how you can use students, perhaps, to use. There might be some alternative ways of. Oh, okay.
We tried that one, and we involved with students from the Sinai University, and it was a little bit difficult. The relation between the ministry and the university.
Just yes. As an aside, I would say that our experience is the students are very enthusiastic about collecting the data. Because for them it's a one-off thing, right? I mean, because so for them to spend 2 weeks intensively working in the community, as I said, we did find out that they didn't like doing the data entry, which they found very helpful, which, you know, the pluses and minuses.
Okay, if that's everything, then I want to thank the presenters.
The other thing, we provide them questionnaire, the instrument, or what you call it, the survey instrument, the questionnaire, for 5 years. Yes, from our project. And then we provide also the same thing to the ministry, that to be standard all over the country, one questionnaire, one manual, all. And then one system to collect the data, and then how to transfer. Even we provide them the flash to transfer the data from governorate to the central level, or vice versa, or also to provide this information to the donors, which is the main important thing. Each donor, when they go to the country to do anything related to health, then the data is provided there. They don't need to collect this information again and again from time to time, okay? That was a very good thing that we did during this project. I should have said this.
Okay, is that everything then? What do you think? Okay, thanks again.
Presenters
in the audience.
Good. We want it to work, so any kind of advice.